This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington as well. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville.
Yep.
Hello. And Eric Bickle this morning.
Good morning.
Got the boys behind the glass on the camera because Bishop's out and NBC Sports Washington always wants an even number of boxes.
It's such a dumb excuse. They don't even have anybody over there anymore. I want the boys on camera more. They deserve it. They don't like it, though.
Do we have to have this conversation every day?
When things are said that are stupid, I can't let it go. And this idea that there has to be even-numbered boxes is one of the dumber things than anyone has ever thought of.
You say a lot of dumb stuff, and we let it go.
Yeah, well, I can't let that go.
All right, time now to open up the Junkie Sports page, brought to you by Impress Technology, an SBA-certified hub zone solution provider and Dell Federal partner. We open up the show talking about Tom Wilson. He ultimately does not get suspended by the league. Instead, fined $5,000. And the New York Rangers, they're upset, Cakes.
They've called for the removal
of George Peros, who's the head of the NHL Department of Player Safety.
Mm-hmm.
The quote is, this is from the team, "The New York Rangers are extremely disappointed that Capitals forward Tom Wilson was not suspended for his horrifying act of violence last night at Madison Square Garden. Wilson is a repeat offender with a long history of these type of acts, and we find it shocking that the NHL and their Department of Player Safety failed to take the appropriate action and suspend him indefinitely. Wilson's dangerous and reckless actions caused an injury to Artemi Panarin that will prevent him from playing again this season."
Right. So I guess they're upset that he, like, body slammed him with no helmet, right? I think they think that that was beyond the pale. And apparently the league doesn't care. If you fight,
George Peros doesn't.
They do not care. So,
maybe Artemi Panarin's going to think twice about stepping in the ring with the big boys next time.
Well, listen, I don't blame
him. He'll leave that to one of his other teammates next time.
Maybe, but I don't blame him. I actually have a lot of respect for the guy. I mean, you're going in there defending your teammates, right? So they're all doing that. At the end of the day, I think that's what Wilson was doing, right? He didn't like the guy near his goalie, so he's going to go in there and poke him a little bit, punch him. I think it's kind of dirty, but, I mean, that's a game. And then
gonna
the other guy,
Panarin,
even
tonight,
though he's a lightweight, he's trying to protect this guy.
Yeah. Makes for an interesting game tonight as the Capitals face the Rangers once again. I understand the Rangers aren't very good, Cakes. They're fifth in the East, losing record. Actually, they're 26-21-6. That's the way it works out. But the Capitals now trail the Pens by 2 points in the division, so big game for them. They aim to extend their 3-game road winning streak. So, big game for the Caps tonight.
Wouldn't expect to see Ovi back. I mean, from some of the pressers, it sounds like they just want him healthy for the playoffs. I'd be shocked to see him back before the playoffs start at this point, especially after the aborted attempt after just 39 seconds in the last Rangers game. So they'll be down personnel-wise again, but if they can scoop 2 points and, you know, avoid all the chippiness that I'm sure is going to ensue tonight, just get back home healthy or healthier for the last 3-game stretch before the playoffs start.
And the Capitals most likely, like you said, will be without Ovi. And then TJ Oshie's day-to-day, personal reasons, his father passed away. So you don't know if Oshie's going to be in the lineup. I would imagine the two guys that missed the last game will be back from their suspension by the team.
Kuzi and Ilya. We'll have to see if they're available.
So you got the Caps in action tonight against the Rangers. You also have the Wizards back on the hardwood. They take on the Bucks tonight. Bucks coming off a big win. Bucks, of course, are battling with the Nets for best record in the Eastern Conference, and they actually beat the Nets last night. But you would think, all right, Bucks are going to be favored, but as Jason would say, you never know in the NBA.
Didn't we beat them this year?
For the Bucks.
We beat the Bucks this year, right? I feel like we did. I remember a game, maybe I'm crazy, but I feel like that was kind of on that kind of unpredictable run that they went on where they beat the Bucks, and you expected.
I don't think they've beaten the Bucks.
You sure? 100%?
Facing them for the third time this season, unable to beat Milwaukee in their two March meetings at home.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, the Bucks beat them on March 15th, 133-122. Giannis went for 31 in that game. But look, the Wizards are rolling right now. They're playing great basketball, led by Russell Westbrook. Westbrook coming off that 21-rebound, 24-assist game.
Right.
You know, the amazing thing about that game was, you know, he scores 14 points. I think he only took 6 shots.
Yeah. Look, he says he kind of measures out each game to see what the team needs. And if they need him rebounding like a machine or passing like a machine, whatever, they need him scoring, he's going to score. Whatever the team needs.
Yeah, Coach Brooks said that, you know, there aren't many guys. I think he had 3 shots at halftime.
Right.
He said there aren't many players in the league that are going to be happy with 3 shots at halftime. But he said Russ doesn't care. He just cares about getting the wins, putting his teammates in the right positions, getting the assists.
Right.
So, yeah, you have to love having a player like that on the roster.
Hey, this might be a good game because the Bucks just played last night against New Jersey and had a hard-fought come-from-behind victory against the Nets as they're fighting for second place. They're going to be dead tired tonight.
That's what I mentioned.
Yeah,
well, like
by the way, 7-point favorites.
They're in Brooklyn now, the Nets.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, old habits die hard. I'll give you a pass.
I make mistakes like that all the time.
It's feeling nostalgic.
Wizards, though, could climb up in the standings because with their win against the Pacers, they're just a half game back behind the Pacers for ninth. I know this is stupid because they're going to be in a play-in game no matter what. EB, I kind of want them to get that eighth seed because then you could say, well, they would have been a playoff team in any season,
mm-hmm.
right? Some people, I know some people have been hitting us up on social media. You can always tweet us at Junction Radio. Why are you getting so excited? They're going to be a 10 seed or a 9 seed. Well, if they get an 8 seed, that's a legit playoff seed.
Mm-hmm. Well, it just goes back to the age-old argument, though. Do you want to be the bottom seed and first out when you could have, you know, potentially had a higher draft pick? And I've always been against it. I've always been pro. You just play it out. You never know how to. Maybe you'll get hot. And I just don't like losing. I think losing begets losing. But this year, I had completely given up. Gave up on the team, and now they're on a hot streak. And now I definitely would be disappointed if they missed the playoffs.
This is usually prime NBA lottery generator time for me. Like, first week in May, like, leaning into the offseason. Not doing it at this point.
Because you don't
think... the Wiz are hot.
Yeah. Right.
There's no need to. What am I going to look at?
But you're usually pro-tank, though. You're usually pro-tank.
100%.
You're with the analytic crowd. So you would rather them not make the playoffs, right?
I would rather them make the playoffs now because they're on a sizzling heater and Russ is unstoppable. But generally, yes, I agree with the first statement.
Yeah.
Because there's no upside to getting your doors blown off when you're the 8th seed and then you're picking 12th in the NBA draft.
And look, right
now... It's
called
running on a treadmill and not going anywhere.
Right now, it's at the top of the Eastern Conference, it's Sixers, Nets, Bucks. All right, so let's say they get beyond their play-in game. They take on one of those teams, the Sixers, Nets, Bucks. Of course, the other teams are going to be favored, and it'd be a long shot to see the Wizards beating those teams. But the way that Russ and Bradley Beal are playing... They're going to keep it interesting. Like, mm-hmm. you're going to want to watch those games, and they could definitely steal a game on the road and definitely make it a series.
I guess. Is there any chance they could get the 7? Is there any hope? How many games do they have left? mean, what would they have to
do? Seven seed right now is the Celtics. There's no hope. They're four games back.
Right.
The eight seed, I think, is doable because you're two back of Charlotte, and I believe you play Charlotte in the final game of the season.
Right.
Yeah, but the 7-8 seed doesn't matter because you're going to play. The
correct.
7 and 8 seed are going to play each other for that top seed.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just saying the cycle a lot. To me, it's just stupid. It's kind of like when EB argued with Coach Brooks, get that 50th win because they didn't have a 50-win season. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter in their seeding, but it was like, hey, you could say that we won 50 games versus 49.
Oh, I'm with you.
To me, I kind of want them to be the 8 seed, regardless of what it means for a play-in tournament in the playoffs.
Right. And look, give them credit. Like we said, they've been on an absolute tear for the most part, right? In the last 15, 20 games, whatever it is, they've made themselves compelling. It just shows that in this town in particular, I mean, I don't know. New York's would you argue New York the best sports town? What's the best sports town in the country? Boston?
New York, Boston.
Right? If the Celtics lost, you know, 9 out of 10 or whatever, 8 out of 10 or whatever the Wizards were doing, would the fans give up or would they be pounding sports radio, especially if they've been doing it for a decade or two decades?
They would care less. If they were bad for an entire decade,
they would care less, right? It would be similar as to what it is here in D.C.?
Of course, because then you know, the Patriots fill the void for them. Or if the Bruins are playing well, that fills the void. They're not going to keep caring about a team that's been bad for a decade.
I just feel like this town really can turn on a dime.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you get hot... We're desperate. We want to jump on the bandwagon.
Absolutely.
We want to be there, you know. But you gotta do your part.
Yep. So tonight you can actually bet the DC trifecta. So we mentioned the Caps have the Rangers again.
Right.
Mentioned the Wizards against the Bucks, and of course the Nationals. We're gonna have Mike Rizzo on the show. The Nats GM, President of Baseball Operations. It's Eric Fetty on the mound tonight against Max Fried from the Braves. Nationals now a half game back of the Phillies. In the East, they lost 6-1, which snapped Washington's season-high four-game winning streak. It was just the sixth time this season the Nationals have been held to five hits or fewer. And the first time the Nationals didn't record an extra base hit at Nationals Park, so the bats were cold yesterday. You know who hasn't been cold, though, is Trey Turner. Mm. He went 2-for-3, 11th multi-hit game of the season. And we talked about Joe Ross earlier. He wasn't terrible. He was solid. He allowed two earned runs on five hits with two walks in 5 1/3. But you got Fetty tonight, so you could go Fetty, Wizards, Caps.
All right, so let's rank the likelihood. Who do the Caps
at? Number one.
Caps are at the Rangers again.
I would say probably the Nats and then the Wiz.
Probably.
Fetty has actually pitched decently, from if I remember correctly, like the last 2 out of 3 outings or something like that. 3 out of 4 out. I feel like he's pitched decently.
Breaking news here for your Washington football team. Of course, they drafted two wide receivers. EB, your guy, Jeff Bidette, released.
No, that happened a couple days ago. But, yeah, that's fine. I wish him well. I hope he finds a place. All I liked about him was the speed. But we got a bunch of speed guys now. So, you know, there's no need for him.
Did he end his glorious career with one catch?
I don't know if his career's over. Maybe it is.
I meant with the Washington football team.
I think he did have one catch. I like speed, and I think he's one of the. I think he was like a 4-3 guy, so I was always intrigued by him. But he never did anything.
I think he might have been a sub 4-3 guy. That's what was so tantalizing about him.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of people hit me up on that, like I was going to be distraught or something. Are you kidding? We got an awesome wide receiver group right now.
How can you be distraught about a guy who has one catch in your jersey?
Well, I know people are gonna hit me up when they.
I'm
cut.
Not even sure if he had one. I'm actually looking at the stats right now.
He certainly had
now.
A target.
Yeah, I see zero.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I might have zero, but that's fine. I guarantee you are gonna hit me up and either taunt me or act like maybe like I'm sad or something when they cut Steven Sims. Steven Sims is getting cut. Okay, there's no question. All he has to do is his agent should request his release. Read the room. Look at what they've done in the offseason and in the draft. He's getting cut. So he should ask for his release and try to find a spot where he would have a better chance.
Look for another team that needs a slot receiver slash guy who has shaky hands on punt returns.
Yeah.
I knew you were
if somebody's in the market for that guy, contact Stephen Sims Jr.
All right, coming up next, we will talk more football, more NFL with former NFL player and now an analyst for CBS Sports HQ. Brian McFadden will join us as we talk NFL here on the Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Going to talk a little football with Brian McFadden, former NFL player for the Steelers and the Cardinals. He's actually a two-time Super Bowl champ. He's scheduled to join us here in a moment. Now an analyst with CBS Sports HQ.
Now, did he focus a lot on the draft? Or is he just overall looking at the league in general?
I think he does both.
Right.
He does both. I was actually just wondering, because I'm not exactly sure where my two rings are. Cakes, do you know, could you easily find your rings? Oh, you've got your ring right there. Bam.
There's for all the Caps haters out there right there. Just digest that on NBC Sports Washington. Drink it in. Right there, my friends. I know exactly where
that is. You're supposed to be a
homer,
Cakes. You're supposed to support the team 100% every single time.
I know.
No matter what.
Yeah, apparently I forgot those rules.
Yeah.
All right, Brian McFadden joins us right now. Bryant, former NFL player, now an analyst for CBS Sports HQ. And I don't know if you heard us talking about this, Bryant. It's crazy because we did nothing to deserve it, but we have a World Series ring and a Stanley Cup ring. And you have two Super Bowl rings, which you earned.
Yep.
What do you do with them?
You know what? Great question. Actually, I do nothing with them. I may look at them maybe once a year. You know what I mean? Mostly around Super Bowl time.
Right.
Outside of that, you know, just knowing I have them is the best part, is the best thing about, you know, being a Super Bowl champion. You know, but I don't really just look at them like that. Unless there's a special event regarding championship-like rings.
Would you ever sell them? Let's just say, I mean, hopefully, you know, you don't ever get to that point where you're trying to raise a few extra bucks. But I do see guys sell them sometimes. And I feel bad for them.
I know,
because
I
it's,
do too.
You know, I get it. Everyone needs a little dough sometimes. But, you know, you work so hard for it. It would be hard to sell, I would think.
No, I definitely wouldn't want to do that. I mean, you think about how difficult it was just to get to that moment in your career and to eventually just, you know, do away with it. You know, I definitely would never, you know, I don't want to say never, but would ever want to do something like that, because when you don't get those moments back, you know,
right.
What I mean? That's the one piece of memorabilia that showcases what you were able to accomplish. You know what I mean?
Right.
So being able to have that championship ring in whatever professional sports, you know, being able, it's almost like having an Oscar or having a Grammy. You know what I mean? That item, it solidifies the goal that you were able to accomplish.
Right.
All right, so we just had the NFL draft. I want you to take us back to your draft experience. I believe you were drafted 62nd overall. What did you expect going in? What was it like for you to be, you know, second-round pick? What was it like for you back in 2005?
You know, I tell people this all the time regarding the draft. There are only a handful of players that are happy with where they got drafted. Most of the other players, they feel some type of way because they feel like they should got drafted higher. You know what I mean? So me personally, I thought I would maybe go in the late first, maybe early second, but I ended up going towards the end of the second round, 62nd pick. So because of that, I was a bit disappointed because I had my hopes set up to get drafted higher based on some of the information that I was receiving as draft night got closer. But that didn't happen. Getting drafted to Pittsburgh initially, I was a bit disappointed because I'm like, Pittsburgh? You know, I've never been to Pittsburgh, never had idea to go to Pittsburgh, you know what I mean? So I'm like, man, I'm going to a city where I probably would never actually want to visit unless I'm forced to visit that city. In all honesty, that was one of the best moves that I made because, you know, going to Pittsburgh, they treated me like family from start to finish. The atmosphere was always unbelievable. The support was unbelievable. And granted, you know, we had a lot of success there.
Yeah, and also, I think Pittsburgh gets a bad rap. I've said this many times. I only hear, like, people kind of make fun of Pittsburgh, but I've been there several times now, and I think it's an awesome city. It's very cool. I always call it kind of a poor man's San Francisco, but maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe that's even being disrespectful. I think it's a very cool city.
Exactly. Like, for people who've never been there, when you think about Pittsburgh, whenever you see images of Pittsburgh, you see a gloomy type atmosphere, you know, environment. You don't necessarily see what Pittsburgh has to offer. And I'm right there with you. When you visit Pittsburgh, when you spend some time there, the image of the city changes dramatically in a positive way for you.
Yeah, no question about
it. All right, so let's get into this year's draft. Of course, we're based here in D.C., so let's start with the Washington football team. What do you make of what they did in the draft? Some people are upset they didn't get aggressive and trade up for a quarterback. It seems like Ron Rivera is content to kind of play the long game and go with Ryan Fitzpatrick this year and Heineke and Allen as backups.
Yeah, I think so. I think when you look at where Washington was, in the draft, it was a very, very uncomfortable position to be in if you want to go get a quarterback. You know what I mean? We saw Chicago do the unthinkable and trade up to go get Justin Fields. But for Washington, outside of not addressing the quarterback issue, I have no problem with their draft. Jamin Davis, he's a difference maker. Now you add another outstanding athlete to that defense that has already been a defense that's starting to go in a big, dominating direction, in my opinion. So I love that pick. When you look at Cosme, tackle from Texas, I think he will be a starter at some point in time. So it's safe to say the first two selections will be starters at some point in time in their rookie campaign, especially if they're healthy. That's always a plus. If you can get two starters maybe in year one in the draft, that's basically a win. And then when you look at in the third round, I think they got Benjamin St. Justice from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Very, very sound corner, athletic, plays with good eyes, and being able to put him in that secondary unit. Not to mention, I think he's going to be a difference maker in the team's game. You know what I mean? Running down punt coverage, running down kickoff coverage. I think he will be able to showcase his skill set in special teams because he's a football player. And most football players, they show up in the team's game, and I think he has the opportunity to do so. And my favorite pick, I think, from the Washington Football Club, from out of all the draft picks, is Brown from North Carolina. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He had a bit of an issues, some issues with drops here or there at North Carolina, but he's a guy. He's an electrifying talent, and I think he's going to have a better pro career than college career, and he's another football player that happens to have a position. Those are the guys that I love. Right, give me a football player that happens to have a position, and I can go to war with those guys. And he's another player just like that when I mentioned Brown from Minnesota. He's a football player that happens to have a position, and I think he's going to be successful.
What do you mean by football player? Because we used to have fun with it. Scott McLuhan was the GM here for a while, and he would use that term all the time. I want football players. Well, aren't they all football players on the team? Like, how do you distinguish? What do you mean by he's a football player?
Yo, great, great question. A football player is a guy that can do many different things. You know what I mean? A positional player is a guy who plays wide receiver, and that's all he can do. Gotcha. There are a lot of wide receivers that only play wide receivers. They can't go out and cover a kickoff down on kickoff, a kickoff down on kickoff. They can't go out and cover a punt down on a punt team. They only can do what they're supposed to do, which is catch the football. They don't block well. They don't give. They can't tackle if need be. That's a positional only player. But a football player, you can put them in many different situational moments of a ball game, and they will surface to some degree because they play football.
Right. It's like putting a track star out at wide receiver and thinking he's going to do more than just run down the field.
Like Jeff Bidette.
Exactly.
Right. All right. I have a couple of questions. All right. So I got a kick out of, and I listen, it sounds like you liked Washington's draft. I really liked it. I'm a fan, and I'm biased, but I really like their draft. It just makes sense to me. If the guys may all bomb, who knows? You can't predict the future. But sort of on paper, the picks make sense. The one that I got a kick out of, though, was the corner that you mentioned in the third round. I got a kick out of reading that he had no picks in college. Now, what do you make of that? Is that, I know it wasn't because he wasn't targeted. What should I make of that?
Ball skills, maybe an area he needs to improve on. And that's probably why he went in the third round. Because remember, I talked about what type of athlete he is. He's a very, very good athlete. He moves his hips well. His feet, he has pretty good feet. He can get low. He can stay in wide receivers' hip pockets. But if you don't catch the football, that's not a good sign. You know what I mean? But that tells you, think about this. That tells you what type of player he can be. For him to have zero picks. And go in the third round, which is high.
Right.
You don't usually see that from a corner. Most corners drop dramatically if they play their entire career with no picks.
Right. What do you make of, you said Fields and how the Bears moved up. They did the unthinkable. Is that just because of the cost and it's so expensive to move up these days? Or is it because you're not that high on Fields? What is sort of your evaluation of the quarterbacks that went early?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. You know what I mean? The cost to move up is extremely high.
Right.
And then maybe some teams didn't value Fields as high as the Bears did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then when you combine those two, if you don't really value a guy that high, why would you invest so much to go get him when you don't really value him to be the player that some other people may feel that he could potentially be? You know what I mean? And the thing about Washington is this. You know what I mean? I love the job that Riverboat Ron is doing. He feels like, and this is my assumption, and you guys can tell me better than can tell me better than I can actually see because you guys are there. But he understands the strength of his team is defense.
Yeah.
We're going to play sound defense. We're going to beat you up. We might not blow you away with how entertaining our play is offensively, but we're not going to just shoot ourselves in the foot and play sound defense. And he feels like that's the best recipe to be relevant in their division. Because if their offense just can play clean football, run the football well for Antonio Gibson, take what opposing defenses are giving you, that defense that Washington has can do the rest. That's similar to what we used to do in Pittsburgh, you know, earlier in my career there. We're going to play smart, clean football offensively, and we're going to beat you up on the defensive side.
Yeah, I think that's generally the case, although I would say I think they've added some explosive weapons with Samuel, you know what I mean, with Brown. I still think they could actually surprise you. And if Fitz, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick has a bad sort of, like when you think of Fitzpatrick, you think, oh, journeyman. And that's true. He is a journeyman. But he's playing the best football of his career right now. Like you're getting, hopefully, the best of Ryan Fitzpatrick.
See, and that's the thing. Will that continue in 2021?
Yeah.
That is the question. That is the biggest question mark regarding Washington on the offensive end. I love all the pieces they added, the offensive line, the structure there, the backfield. I love Antonio Gibson, the wide receivers. Then you add Brown. You got an athletic tight end that can be a red zone nightmare. The biggest question mark for Washington, will Ryan Fitzpatrick continue the play that he was able to display in Miami before losing his job in Washington for a full season?
Right.
That is the question mark.
No doubt.
Joined by Bryant McFadden, NFL analyst for CBS Sports HQ. Take us through that top 10 in the NFL draft. You were a cornerback by trade when you were in the NFL. Tell us about J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain II. Super talented corners that went to the Panthers and the Broncos. What are they going to bring to their teams in 2021?
Real good athletic play. You know, J.C. Horn is a guy who plays with a chip on his shoulder. He got better every year. I think he surprised a lot of people by being the first defender to come off the board. But I wasn't surprised. I had him on my podcast that I host with my cousin Patrick Peterson, All Things Covered, and he said on our podcast that he is the best defender in the draft. And he plays angry. It's a personal battle for him week in and week out, and I love that. Surtain Jr. Is a clean, savvy corner. You know, he's been playing the corner his entire life, to say the least. You know what I mean? His father played corner, Pat Surtain. So he's a clean guy, and he's done nothing but ball everywhere he's been. You know what I mean? He came out of high school as a top corner. He came out of college as one of the top corners. You know, that label has always followed him, and I think both guys will be beneficial for their respectable team.
Hey, Bryant, I'm just curious. I saw this video of Mike Vick running a 40 recently, and I think he's pushing 50 and ran like a 4.7. You're 40. How fast can you run the 40 now?
Well, Vick is not that old. He's not pushing 50. I think he's around like
he's 40.
42, 43.
Oh, he's also 40. It's my bad.
Yeah, and I'm not 40 yet. Don't put the 40 on me just yet. I'm still 39. But to answer your question, I don't know, and I'm not running no 40. I'm not getting out and running 40.
You're going to tear a hamstring or something. What do you want to do, right? You don't want to do
exactly,
that.
Exactly. I'm not getting out there running the 40 for no particular reason at all. I would stand on the sideline and watch just like everybody else.
Right.
My bad. Yeah, Vic is only 40. I don't know why. I knew it was one of those either 40 or 50, but yeah, way off.
Hey, Brian, thank you so much, man. That was really good. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right, buddy. I actually really enjoyed that. Some good insight there.
Yeah, he's good, man.
Yeah, he was really good.
He actually deferred and said, you guys know better than me because you're there.
Right.
Which I know is a bugaboo for you. National guys say, you know, the grade is a C because they didn't do this, that you feel like you know the team better.
He smirked, William, when he said that.
You looked at me?
I was looking right at you.
Well, I mean, it's true. The local guys, I'm not saying just me. I put all of us locally. I don't care who you work for. All of us locally know this team better than the national guys.
But he knew the football team's draft.
He knew the draft
really well,
yep.
And the ins and outs and the pros and cons and the strengths and weaknesses of each of the players.
When he started talking about the corner's eyes, I started to think of Vic, obviously. And I was like, is he giving me a cliche? But then he was talking about his hips. I mean, it's getting low. It certainly sounded like he'd seen that kid play.
I mean, he is an NFL corner or was an NFL corner.
No doubt he knows. Yeah. He would know that way better than anybody. But, you know, sometimes, look, let's be honest. Nobody knows all these guys, but he has done his homework, and he looked them up at least,
exactly.
And he knew of them.
Looked at the tape. I remember a little bit later in the show, we got Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, president of baseball operations. He'll jump on at 9 as we talk some Nats. But coming up next, we'll talk about the Good Samaritan from that crazy crash in Ocean City on the bridge. That's next here on The Fan. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. So I teased the story of the Good Samaritan, and believe the Good Samaritan is still unknown.
Right.
He wanted to stay private.
Mm-hmm. But I need the details on this.
A tragic crash off of the Route 90 bridge.
Yeah.
Well, not tragic, I guess, because...
No one died. All right.
So a terrible crash with a... You know, the car leaning over the guardrail, and the 2-year-old girl was ejected from her car seat from this pickup truck, which was teetering over the guardrail just outside Ocean City, the Route 90 bridge, and she landed in the bay.
I think she might have still been in the car seat. Like, I think her strapped into the car seat was fully ejected out of the vehicle.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
And so the hero... jumped from the bridge and saved the little girl. And he apparently has decided to stay private. But there was a family on a nearby boat. and they have talked about what they saw. It was a local resident, Joe Ortel, who was on the bay with his wife, Trisha, and their daughter, Aliana. And they went and then kind of scooped up the man with the baby and the car seat.
Good thing it wasn't the Valdezes. They wouldn't leave their crab pots to go see.
Yeah,
somebody.
Hopefully they're okay checking pots before I take them back to shore.
They said that they thought that the man was the father at first, and they realized that he jumped from the bridge to save the child until he then called up to his daughter who was up on the bridge.
Mm. I mean, a 30-foot plunge is no joke.
That's
a long way to jump.
So this story's been out there for a couple of days, and when we came in, I know it was out on social media and everything, and people are asking, would you do this? And I know JP said, I'd like to think that I would, and Drab had the same answer. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a hero. I'm only first of all, I definitely wouldn't jump 30 feet. No chance. I would only do it for my own kid. And right. It would be a character flaw, but it is. And I almost can't see a scenario. I'm not going to die for a stranger. Now
30 feet, I don't think you would
do it.
I don't think 30 feet you would think. Again, I say I'd like to think that I would because you never know.
I
want to
put myself in that category. I'd like to think I would
never know in those moments. The closest thing we had was a car crashing into the radio station.
Right. I wasn't going anywhere near
that. And I did actually. I mean, it was not heroic. I just opened the door and said, are you okay?
Hey, yeah, the way I see it, we're already all heroes to Rom. Like, we play heroes every day to Rom. So
we've
done our hero bit.
Speaking of Rom, this is the most anti-Rom story in the world because this guy wants to be anonymous.
Right.
Attention dollars for being heroic.
Right.
Yes.
And right.
Could you ever get better attention dollars?
Those are the best.
Saving a 2-year-old girl.
I don't think it gets
Rom
any better
would be
than
on
that.
Every newscast.
The only way it's better is if you save like triplets. If it were triplets that went in and you saved all three of them, that's the only way it gets
honestly
better.
Like, I don't think you could get better press in life than this. I mean, I guess if you were the guy that cured cancer,
it's actually weird.
Like, if you cured cancer, all right, then you're the time
you should be the
man of the
richest
year
man. Yeah,
right. Then maybe that's better than saving a child who's going to potentially drown. But I don't think there's much better.
And you're not only saving the child, you're leaping 30-plus feet off of the bridge to do it.
I'm like telling you, if I think that – I'm doing a quick calculation, and this is just honest. If I think I could perish, I'm not going to stretch myself for a stranger. That's just totally honest.
Yeah, but I mean,
now, if it's
like
my
you
kid,
can swim.
I will do it. I'll die
you
for my
swim,
kid.
You can swim, EB. Like, you – at first, you're going to look over the guardrail. You're going to be like, man, that's a long drop.
Like,
but then
you're
going to
look. How cold is that water? How long can I last in that water? How deep is it?
Yeah, but again, you're jumping.
I don't know all that stuff.
You're jumping in the ass of woman bay. Like Valdez said, there's
going to
be people crabbing and fishing. Somebody's going to come save you.
It's actually butt shallow, too.
Yeah, well, that's not good.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I don't want to go in there. You know how a lot of people die when they jump off the Bay Bridge? At least if Wikipedia is right, they die because they survive jumping in, and they get stuck in the mud.
Well, that's hundreds of feet up. This is 30.
Well, who knows where they're jumping from?
I mean, you guys are overreacting a little bit.
I'm not jumping in for a stranger. It ain't happening.
Well, you're not going to shatter your legs jumping off that little bridge.
I mean, it may hurt on impact, but you're not going to die.
Just do a pencil.
I'm telling you, I'm not going in. I'll call 911 and tell them to hurry.
I actually think this Good Samaritan was up to something shady.
Why?
Who, the guy that leaped off the bridge?
He doesn't want any kind of press.
He doesn't want him to know, like, what weed he had in his car or something?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't think so. Yeah, I think
it makes you think.
Maybe. It's weird. Maybe he's just, he's selfless. Maybe he's just a really selfless, heroic type person.
Yeah. I'm not doing it. I see, I could never be a cop or a fireman. I just could never do it. These guys are heroes beyond words or, God forbid, you know, like military. Are you kidding? I wouldn't last 1 second. Like I saw, there was a video of a cop who's going in the burning car, opening the burning car and saving a passed out dude. Do you think there's a chance I'd go within 100 yards of a
burning
car?
Burning car is different because that thing can explode at any, like it hits the gas tank, explodes at any second. That's one where I am going to defer to the firefighters and the real experts.
That's a burning car. I got to tell you, I actually had this thought just yesterday.
Different level.
I'm on a ramp and all of a sudden you just enveloped by smoke, and there was two or three cars ahead of me, and as it turned out, there was like a minivan that pulled off the ramp onto the shoulder. And there was just smoke emanating from the car. I just drove right by.
Carbacule. One of Valdez's favorite bits. He does love that bit.
Hey, do you think when they got on that boat, they went over to the Ocean Pines Yacht Club and had some orange crushes?
They docked it over there. Yeah, they're heroes too. They went and scooped up the kid and the Good Samaritan.
Probably.
They should have. They should have gotten free drinks for the rest of the weekend.
My kid quarantined over there at Ocean Pines. He had a great time.
Ocean Pines is silly.
He had a great time. He told me, Dad, we got to get a place.
Now everyone there is 60.
Yeah.
Hey, is Ocean Pines, are those like houses? Are they trailers? I have no idea.
No, they have houses right on the. They have like little, like, looks like man made little creeks or whatever, right?
Gotcha.
Right. Our boy Z's parents had a house over there.
Yeah, you've been there before, right? Cakes? Never?
I've been to Ocean City plenty back in the day, but I don't think I've ever.
Ones, and they have nice ones.
Okay.
Know?
Right.
I would probably be in the market for a dumpy one.
Right.
I mean, stuff is so expensive. My brother showed me a house the other day that he was thinking of, right? I'll just say it was $600K, right?
Okay.
It sold for $675.
Wow.
I mean, the market is on fire. I look at like beach. Somebody told me that just this past weekend that they sold their beach house in Bethany, right? And they wanted to buy a house. They had a townhouse, but since they've sold it, like wood and all that stuff is up 400%.
Well, all the building materials
are
spiking.
All the materials have spiked, and now they're out of a beach house, and the wife's all bitter.
Why is wood up 400%? I look outside.
I don't know if it's just wood. I just said trees everywhere. The answer is material.
Look at my window. I see a billion trees. Why is wood spiking?
I said wood. It's probably not even one piece of wood. It's materials.
Building materials.
Yeah, materials. I was told is up 400%.
Again, I see concrete trucks everywhere. I see them everywhere.
I don't know.
What's going on here?
All I know is that they are so bitter. They used to go to Bethany all the time. They thought they were going to cash in, and now they're SOL because the market is on fire.
Somehow we turned from talking about rescuing babies to real estate prices.
Right. What we talked about.
I like that pivot.
I get an email every time there's a new property for sale in Ocean Pines.
You do?
Yeah.
You get a lot of bang for your buck there.
You're on the Matrix.
Because it's kind of, you know, you're right. I mean, what are you? How far are you from the beach? A couple miles?
Is that Bayside, Valdez? You're the expert.
You're 10-minute drive.
You're over the bridge.
No, I understand.
I know, but Cakes thinks it's in the city.
I don't know. I've never been to Ocean Pines. I don't know. I'm asking questions.
It's right before the 90 bridge.
Okay. And then,
what percentage
right next
of
to the
people,
casino.
You could, in theory, take your boat to the beach, right?
Yeah, you definitely can.
Right.
Now, when you say casino, is that a full-on casino?
Ocean Downs, baby.
So where the track used to be?
Yeah, the track's still there.
Do they still run?
They run.
Yeah. That's where I fell in love with the Exacta boxes.
Probably where Mama Grizzly is running.
Yeah, Mama Grizzly used to run there.
Right. That was my joy.
Probably her final resting place.
I think their post time used to be in the middle of the day. Is that right?
No, it would be like at 4 or 5 o'clock.
Yeah, something like that.
Like at sunset.
Yeah, something like that.
You won't play the horn, Valdez, for the start of the race. I get sized.
At Rosecroft, I think it's like 7, right?
Yeah, Pete that's a little later. Now.
Rosecroft is always a little later.
Yeah.
Ocean Downs was silly. That's where I learned to bet the Exacta boxes. That's all I do.
Quite a skill.
All right, we just talked to Bryant McFadden from CBS Sports HQ, NFL analyst, former NFL corner, and what he thought about the Washington football team's draft. Coming up next, what is Pro Football Focus? We value the opinion of PFF a lot. We have PFF Tuesdays during the season. What does Pro Football Focus think about Washington's roster and where it ranks in the NFL? We'll get to that next here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.